What do you do when your heart is stirred? When you come across a situation and you look at it and you know that if you don't get involved, that nothing is going to change with that situation. I'm not talking about, you know, you're watching TV and you see all the sad puppy faces in the Sarah McLachlan song. You know which one I'm talking about, right? I will remember. You know which one I'm talking about. No, I'm not talking about that kind of situation. I'm talking about the kind of situation where your heart is stirred and you're like, I have to get involved. I have to do something or nothing will change. Today, we're going to look at a text in the book of Nehemiah. So if you have your Bible, feel free to open it up. If you're watching online, we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 1. And while you're doing that, I just want to remind you, we are in a series right now called Exiles. And over the last several weeks, we've talked about how an exile is simply a foreigner, that somebody who is living in a place that is not their home. And as we've read through the Old Testament, we realize that there are at least three different times where God's people are exiled. And then in the New Testament, Peter, in one of his letters, says that we too are exiles, right? Because heaven is our home, and therefore, wherever we are living, we are exiles in Babylon. And so today, I want to talk about this topic of what happens, and I want to look at a biblical character in a text that tells us what we are to do when our heart is stirred for action. Nehemiah chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 12th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The walls of Jerusalem are broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and I mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes opened to hear the prayer of your servant. And I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you have commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the people. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servants today, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Now I was a cupbearer to the king. Our text for today gives us an account of Nehemiah, how he was an exile living in a foreign land. And though he was thousands of miles away, you have to know that, like many of us, there are times where things are out of sight, out of mind, right? And so it would have been very easy for him to just kind of forget what was happening back where he had been exiled from. But one day, we see in our text that his brother, that's what the text tells us, it was one of his brothers, maybe not literally, but figuratively, right? His brother shows up and they probably, because they know each other, man, they're like, hey, what's going on? Hanani, how are you? Man, how are your kids? Oh, my kids are great. They've gotten so big, right? You've had this kind of conversation with somebody you haven't seen in a long time. And he's like, Hananiah's like, hey, I heard you got that important position, man. Congratulations. He gives him some nucks, like, you're a cupbearer. Man, that's awesome. How'd you get that role? Oh, man, let me tell you the story. And so they're just having this conversation. And then all of a sudden, he's like, Nehemiah's like, hey, bro, tell me, how are things back at home? How are things back at home? Tell me about, you know, what's going on with some of our friends? And he would be like, oh, bro, it is not good. It's not good, man. You know, Elizabeth and Jacob, man, their house was attacked last week. Really? Yeah, their house was attacked because the walls, there's no walls, man. They've all been torn down and the gates are burned. And he's like, oh, man. He's like, I don't know if they're going to make it very long, right? And this is obviously just a fictional conversation, but you can see from the text, but this is the kind of situation. It was dire. And because of this, when Nehemiah hears about the situation back at home, his heart is stirred. What do we do when our heart is stirred? When God stirs our heart for something, you've had this happen before where you see something, maybe it's on Instagram or TikTok, maybe it's on the news and you're like, oh, that's a horrible situation. And you're like, I gotta do something. I gotta get involved. I don't know what to do, but I gotta get involved. What do we do when our heart is stirred? You see, Nehemiah had that moment. And from thousands of miles away, thousands of miles from the situation, his heart is stirred. What do we do when our hearts are stirred for a specific project or a specific purpose? We all have had this, and I think there's a few different responses that we can have. There's a few different responses that we have all had, maybe even in the last few weeks. Man, we get angry. Ugh! Man, I can't believe that situation, right? And then we get on social media. I'm about to tell somebody about how mad I am. And that's how we respond. Some of us, maybe we have the, you know, like the lament. Like we see that Nehemiah had. He lamented and he was sad. Like, oh, man, that's awful. Maybe some of you, when you see a situation like this, you kind of do what I do about November as a Texas Tech football fan. I just go into apathy mode, like every year. Oh, here we go again. You know who you are, Tech fans. Someday, I don't know when, just stay with us, right? Or maybe when our hearts are stirred, and we see something that, man, it shouldn't be like that. We just begin to curse the situation. Man, that thing's too broken. That thing is never, ever gonna be fixed. That thing is always going to be like that. And we just begin to speak words over it. And it just continues to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. But I don't wanna be like that. I want to have the mind of Christ, right? I want to be like what Romans 12 talks about, how we're called to have our minds transformed. And this is what we are called to do when our hearts are stirred by God. When he calls us to a specific purpose for a specific project, we see that when our hearts are stirred and when Nehemiah's heart is stirred, he turns to God in prayer. When Nehemiah's heart is stirred, he turns to God in prayer, right? Verse 4, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. As I was preaching in first service, I could just sense, and I think it's probably true for us in this service too, there's some of us who have been praying for some things, and we haven't seen a whole lot of movement. And God says, hey, it's time to amp up your game. It's time to add in some fasting to your prayer. And I don't know about y'all, when I hear that word, I just kind of like shudder. I don't want to fast. Nobody likes to fast. But Nehemiah knew that the situation was so dire that he couldn't just pray, that he needed to fast. I love what he does. He begins, when his heart is stirred, he begins by turning to God in prayer. Instead of getting mad about the situation and telling everybody how mad you are online, instead of cursing the situation that it's never going to change, no one's ever going to do anything about it, man, the brother gets serious about some prayer. The brother gets serious about some prayer. When your heart is stirred, listen to this. Somebody may even want to tweet this or put this in a meme, right? When your heart is stirred, we begin with the spiritual before we ever move in the natural. We begin with the spiritual There's probably some of us in here who have felt our heart stirred for something and we just started moving in action. Like, I'm about to go wreck some shop. And we start wrecking some shop and we start telling some people some things and all of a sudden, man, nothing's moving. In fact, we're just burning some bridges because we haven't began to go to God in the spiritual. We've only moved in the natural. When your heart is stirred, you begin in the spiritual. This is exactly what he did. He began to pray. He began to fast. See, prayer wasn't enough. Fasting was an addition to it. And he gives us a roadmap. You may even want to go back this week. If God has stirred your heart for some specific system in our community or some system in the world that you see as broken and you want to begin to pray, Nehemiah gives us a roadmap. Look at this. It starts by offering praise and worship to God. This is what he does. Oh, Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keeps his commandments. This is where he begins in his prayer. He tells God, you're awesome. You're good. You're mighty, right? And that's where he begins. Then he goes on and he asks God to open his ears and his eyes. Think about this for a second. Isn't that amazing that our God might not hear, he hears our prayers, but we need to sometimes say, hey, God, would you open your ears to my prayer? And this is exactly what he does. He says, let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open to hear the prayer of your servant. And then he goes on. And he confesses personal and corporate sins. Nobody likes this, but the Bible tells us that we're supposed to do it. We confess our sins to one another so that we can be healed. And it's not just his own personal sins, but corporate sins. There are some corporate sins in our community. You may ask the Holy Spirit, would you show me? You may have a conversation with somebody this week. What are the corporate sins that you see in our community and in the Permian Basin? And this is what Nehemiah does. I pray before you day and night for the people of Israel and your servants confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. This is part of the roadmap. Then he goes on, there's two more. He reminds God of his character. Just this week, we were praying about something for our church. And as we were praying on Monday afternoon, I thought about this because I had been studying this. And I began, as we're praying about this specific topic, I began to tell God in the corporate setting, God, this is all the times that you showed up for this church in this particular topic. It's hard to say. Particular topic in the past. Began to remind God of all the times that he showed up. And this is what Nehemiah did. He reminds God of his character. Remember the word that you commanded to your servant Moses, all the times that you showed up in the past. And then finally, he asked God for help in his response to the situation and give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. This is the roadmap for prayer. This is the roadmap. When Nehemiah's heart was stirred, he started with the spiritual and then he moved into the natural. Some of us need to hear this today. We've tried to move in the natural first, but the last line of the text that we read, chapter 1, is an important detail in this story. That Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know any cupbearers. You know any cupbearers? No, we don't have this, right? This gets lost in our cultural context. But we need to understand that this is a significant part of the story, that a cupbearer to the king likely tasted everything that went before the king. And so Nehemiah would have gone to great lengths and great pains to make sure that the king was not poisoned. He wanted to make sure that only those who needed to have access to the king would be trustworthy and faithful. And here's what we need to know. Listen to me, students, that there is purpose in your placement. There's purpose in your placement. Do you think that Nehemiah, an exile, a foreigner, had been placed in this position on accident by God? No. God knew exactly what he was doing. God had a much bigger purpose that was going on than just Nehemiah serving in this role. And the same is true for you and me today, that there is purpose in your placement. God strategically places you in your position right now. Teachers, He specifically placed you in that classroom for that kid. The one that drives you crazy on a day-to-day basis, he specifically has a purpose in your placement. He has a specific purpose for you in your job. You may look around and go, man, I don't even like this place. I don't even know how I got here. This place has no water. This place has no trees. All this place has is some mesquite bushes with HEB bags flapping in the wind. I can't take credit for that joke. That was my friend Rick last week. He said it neatly, and I was like, it's too good. I got to share it. But it's true. There's some of us in here today, and I just want to let you know, as I was preparing this week, I sensed by the Holy Spirit of God that there's some of us in here that feel purposeless. We feel directionless. We feel like, how in the world did I get here in this dead-end job? I don't even like it. And we feel like God has no purpose on my life. Some of us have even contemplated, do I even need to be here anymore? Would anybody even notice if I wasn't here? And I want to tell you today, if you have believed that, you need to hear some truth today. The truth that you have a God-designed purpose. Somebody say amen. You have a God-designed purpose. You have meaning. God has special assignments for you and you alone. You have unique abilities and unique talents, and maybe you have been finding your purpose in the wrong placement. Maybe you've been finding your purpose in some things that don't even matter. You've been thinking, I'm not saying your job doesn't matter, but I am saying that maybe God has a bigger purpose for you, right? As a follower of Jesus, our purpose is to be sons and daughters of the Most High God and be disciples who make disciples. Pastor Daniel reminded us about that this week at one of our staff meetings, that we are called, if you're a Christian, we're called to go and make disciples, like my man that was up here testifying earlier was talking about. This is what our purpose is. But the devil loves to tell us a lot of things that are not true. Man, he's a really good liar. He's a really good deceiver about what our purpose is. And so I just want to remind you today that you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God, that you have been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. You're called according to his purpose. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God has purpose in your placement right now. All we have to do is stop and look around and pay attention, because God might be doing far more in you than you even realize. This week, I saw this picture. It was taken over in Germany. It's a picture. Check it out. If you can't figure out what that is, it's a bird of birds. Now, it was on the internet, so I'm assuming that, you know, it wasn't messed around with. I don't know. But I do think it proves a point. I do think that we often don't realize, and we often don't slow down enough to see God at work all around us. So I want to challenge you this week to pause at some point. Some of you may even need to calendar it in. Pull out your phone. Wednesday at 2 p.m., I'm going to pause. And I'm going to notice that the God who made me and all the systems that make me work every day, that I don't ever even think about how he made my immune system and how it fights off all the different stuff that I'm interacting with every single day, that God has a purpose in my placement where I am right now, that my God has a purpose for me. And he has a purpose for you. And so I think Nehemiah knew this when his heart was stirred, when his heart was stirred for a purpose. What he realized, as we read through the text, is that God had already gone before him. God had already gone before him, right? The text goes on to tell us, if you read through the rest of Nehemiah, we see that because Nehemiah's heart was so stirred that he had this incredible burden, that it was beginning to affect his mood, that he was thinking about it day and night. Some of you have something like this in your life right now. You see something that's broken and you go to work, but you're thinking about that particular thing. Your heart is stirred for a particular purpose. And this is what happened with Nehemiah. He was trying to do his job. He was trying to be the cupbearer. But he was thinking about this, and it was affecting not only his thoughts, but it was also affecting his countenance. But this could have been a problem, right? If you've ever studied some of these old kingdoms, you realize that if you had a wrong countenance, if you had a sad countenance in front of a king, he could eliminate you like that. He could have replaced Nehemiah like that. Get out of here, right? You're not acting the way you should. You should always be happy. But no. Nehemiah, we see that it was affecting his countenance. And so the king asked him about it. And we see that Nehemiah, he's a wise man. He pauses and he prays before he responds. And this is what he says. He says he's burdened. Why is he burdened? He tells the king what he needs. It says, if it pleases the king, let the letters be given to me, to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gate of the fortress of the temple and for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall occupy. And the king granted me what I had asked, for the good hand of my God, say it with me, was upon me. You see, God had given him a project that only he could complete. God had given him a much, much bigger purpose than what he was currently doing right then, and God had gone before him. And not only does the king allow him to go, but this pagan king actually provides for the project. He gives him all that he needs. It's really not just the king, it's that God provides provision for the project. And some of us in here, our heart has been stirred for a specific purpose. Our heart has been stirred for a specific project. And you need to know today that God loves to partner with you. He loves to provide for you for that stirring in your heart. About a year and a half ago, my daughters, I have a 10-year-old and I have a 6-year-old, and they decided that they wanted to have a playhouse in their backyard. We had this cool little gazebo that was there when we bought the house. And so, we were like, hey, you know what we can do is we can just take the frame of the gazebo and we can, you know, put some paneling on it and we can make it into a little playhouse for them. So over the past year and a half, they've been doing art sales and lemonade stands and, you know, grandparent money and all that kind of stuff. They've been saving up their money. And so I was telling them, this week, I said, hey, I think we can probably get started on the playhouse this weekend. They were like all excited. And so we took yesterday and we started the project. And when I told them we were going to start the project, what that meant for us was we need to go to Lowe's and we need to count the cost of what the project is going to be. Now, my poor 10-year-old, Andy, she has this envelope of money, and it's not a small amount of money, but certainly for a 10-year-old. But when we got to Lowe's, there was a little reality check of what things cost. She's like, a 2x4 is $10? Yeah. And a piece of paneling is $25? Yes. But what she doesn't know is that me and her mama, we've had that conversation already, right? We knew it was going to cost more than she's got. But it's our great joy to provide far and above what she has. It's our great joy. And the same is true for God, when he gives you a project, when he gives you a position, he loves to provide for that. He's already gone before you. That's God's great joy, to take care of you. And when he stirred your heart for that project, he has already gone before you. This week, I was talking to my friend Chris Davis, and we were talking about cars, of all things. And neither of us are really car guys, but we're talking about cars. And you know, the average car has somewhere in the range of 30,000 parts throughout the whole car. Everything all the way from bolts and nuts all the way up to engine and those kind of things. When we think about a car, we think about all the important parts. We think about the engine, right? We think about the seat. We think about the tires. We think about only the most important things, like the steering wheel. It's an important part, right? But we forget so often that every single part in a car has a purpose. Anybody ever been ready to go? You're ready to leave and you're looking for your keys. Where'd my keys go? I can't find my keys, right? It's like the worst thing ever. It's the most maddening thing because here's this car worth tens of thousands of dollars sitting out in the parking lot, on the driveway, out in the garage, and you can't get anywhere because this thing right here has a purpose. And so do you. And God has stirred your heart for certain things in our community. What are the broken systems in our community? What are the broken systems in our world that you could lead the charge on? And chances are, it's a far bigger problem, or it's a far bigger solution even than you can do on your own. But let me just tell you today, by the Spirit of God, He will walk with you and encourage you, and you can be just like Nehemiah. You read the story of Nehemiah when he began with prayer and fasting, and then he was stirred up to go, and then all of a sudden God had purpose in his placement, and we see that God went before him. What about you? What about me? When he stirs your heart, how are you going to handle it? I want to encourage you, begin with the spiritual. Then move in the natural. Then watch how God has a bigger purpose than you can even imagine. And then you watch how he'll provide provision for the project. So would you stand with me? Today, I think there's going to be stories that come out of this morning because God's already been stirring some of your hearts for a particular system. Maybe it's for our schools. Maybe it's for something in our world that you are a part of the solution and he wants to partner with you. And so I want to take a minute and pray for us as we prepare to leave. So Father, we thank you for this morning. God, thank you that we're just reminded even now that it's only by the blood of Jesus that we can even partner with you, God. You're the one who came and rescued us first. You went to the cross, but Jesus, he didn't stay there. We thank you that you came out of that grave. And God, you've given us a mission and a purpose to go and make disciples. God, you called us to be people who partner with you, God, for the restoration of this place. And so, Lord, for those of us who have been stirred for a particular area, God, we ask that you would show up in a mighty way. God, that you would move in power. Father, that you would provide all the provision needed. And Father, we thank you that you are teaching us even right now this morning. And so, God, we honor you and we bless you and we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.